Hi everyone, it's Thursday, November 18th, and you're listening to Against the Current, brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM's News Collective. We aim to bring you an alternative and undercover current affairs coverage from Vancouver and Lower Mainland every Thursday at 3 p.m.
We are based on UBC's Vancouver campus on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. It is important to acknowledge whose land we're on and who has been taking care of our land for centuries.
I'm Trish Mahat.
And I'm Una Sato.
And this is a very exciting episode for us today because we're in the studio. And today we are discussing the Patriot Act by Hussein Minhaj, and specifically the episode called Two Sides of Canada, if any listeners are interested in listening to that. So for any of the listeners who have not heard of Patriot Act, it is a show that was released on Netflix and hosted by Indo-American comedian Hussein Minhaj. The show provided a nuanced perspective on everything from global news, politics, and culture with a lot of comedic element. I highly recommend it. It's funny, and at the same time, it's very informative about Canadian politics these days. So first off, to get started, Una, I would like to ask you what you thought about the show in general.
In general, I think I was really surprised by how informative it was and how in-depth he went to into actually talking about issues, because I know him as a comedian. So I was pleasantly surprised by how informative it was. Yeah,
I agree with that. And I loved how he dumbed down on a lot of things, mm-hmm. because for anyone who does not know a lot about politics, it was just easy to understand, and he brought a lot of humor, mm-hmm. but just added a lot to the easy to understand part, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. And especially because it was so, like, comedic and interesting, I think it's a great way for people who don't normally care about politics to become informed and learn about politics.
Yeah, I understand that. And I remember his show coming out when I was still in first year of university, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and his episode came up, and I watched it, and I just really liked how he broke down everything and made me really interested in politics in general, and now majoring in something like international relations, which is quite telling of how good he is with his work, mm-hmm. in his show, and how he can motivate people to go study politics like he did with me. But yeah, I really enjoyed that part. So what did you think about his argument, Canada having two sides, where one side is very polite and nice and progressive, that it shows or puts onto the world to see, but the other side is the actual image of what Canada is, which has a lot of issues that it needs to address, and it kind of just pushes it under the rug. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with his argument, and I think it goes beyond Canada. You can probably say that about just about any country. Like, they both, you know, all countries have both a good image that they want to promote and probably a not so nice, you know, darker side to it that they try to hide.
Not the U.S.
I mean, even America, I feel like they still kind of try to push that American dream, diverse melting pot side, versus, you know, the obvious issues that they have.
Sure.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with it. It's definitely there, I think, of, you know, because something that drew me to Canada, or, you know, when I was deciding where to study for university, one of the things that drew me to Canada is that, oh, everyone says it's so friendly, it's safe, especially compared to the U.S. Yeah, of course, you know, beautiful nature and all that. So it has a great image. But yeah, obviously it does have a lot of issues, especially regarding, like, Indigenous people.
Right.
climate, yeah, a lot of the things that mm-hmm. her son touches on.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. And just going off of the show, I really liked how he portrayed the two sides, because he made it pretty obvious by showing things Trudeau has said and how he embedded the interview with Trudeau and what he was saying. And then he went back to the audience and was like, oh no, Trudeau actually said that, but that's not true because this is actually what's happening, which I really liked. I don't know, it just made his argument so much stronger. Yeah, I think it just made his argument a little bit stronger, a lot stronger actually, that he was able to interview Trudeau and then, yeah, just show the two sides by comparing, like, what he says on air and what is going on behind the curtains, mm-hmm. essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he also had a bit of, like, an advantage in having that pre-recorded interview with Trudeau and then, you know, like you said, on his stage where he can kind of dissect the interview and be like, oh, actually, let's talk about this. You know, because if it was just airing the interview that he had with mm-hmm. Trudeau face-to-face, then you wouldn't have that, like, outside conversation where you can dissect that interview. So
yeah,
and you know, in that moment he also added a lot of comedic elements, so that was nice.
Yeah, it was pretty informative in that way too. Adding on to that Trudeau in the interview part, somebody in the comments was like, oh, it's really good and of Trudeau, and like they were basically applauding Trudeau because he allowed that interview to happen and interview to air. So what do you think about that? Like, because they were saying that, oh, other PMs or other prime ministers or presidents wouldn't take such a step and wouldn't let Hassan do any of this. But the fact that Trudeau did says a lot about him as a person and just as a prime minister.
Yeah, I think I was also kind of surprised by some of the questions he was able to ask or some of the points he was able to touch on in the interview, because a lot of them were definitely sensitive or questions that he would probably want to avoid. But at the same time, it's like, he's a prime minister, he is responsible for a lot of, you know, he has a lot of power, so it makes sense that he is being held accountable and like speaking about these issues because he does have a degree of power to influence how these issues play out. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's like, it's great that, you know, Hassan was able to ask Trudeau about these issues, but also, like, there should be a degree of transparency when mm-hmm. you're the prime minister of a country. So I don't know. It's like, it's great, but also kind of necessary.
Yeah.
And also, I think a lot of Americans watch The Patriot Act because it is an American show.
Yeah.
And I think coming from the Trump presidency, where he would either, like, just, you know, he would just, what's the word? He would, like, belittle and berate any reporters who would ask him questions that were meaningful but critical, like, against him.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you're comparing how Trump would handle some of those questions to how Trudeau would, maybe that can feel a little bit jarring or, like, surprising.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Trump was quite an extreme, so I don't know that that's the best comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like U.S. was under an authoritarian rule during that time. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And, like, I loved how he went into so many topics. Like, he talked about reconciliation, he talked about climate change, and the most interesting one for me was when he grilled Trudeau on the money that Canada spends on wars, which was really interesting to see, especially when he was like, Hassan was like, oh, so repeat after me to Trudeau. He was like, oh yeah, say that you won't provide arms to Saudi Arabia anymore.
That was so funny.
And Trudeau just was just so speechless, he couldn't say anything to that. And yeah, so that was pretty interesting to see that he was able to dissect so many different issues. And even though this episode came out in 2019, it's so sad that you're still facing all of the same issues. Mm-hmm. And I was watching that, and a lot of the climate change stuff, it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the pipeline issues, there's always indigenous people fighting for their rights, fighting for their lands to this day. And even COP26, it's a disaster because not much is being achieved from countries like Canada. And I was reading an interview that said that Canada had made some like big promises on world scale many times. And I think it was pretty obvious in the interview as well, because Trudeau at the world scale, at the UN, I think he was like, oh, Canada needs to prioritize climate change. And then while he was at the same time in a room full of the oil execs, he was like, oh no, oil is very important. We need to dug out all the oil and take out all the oil, which was really interesting to see that he was doing that. And in the interview, yeah, so going back to that interview, so the person was saying that Canada tries to do that, all of that on the world scale, like even at COP26, but then they want to see all these people, all these politicians bring back those issues and topics that they were discussed at COP to the House of Commons and discuss them again, which is highly unlikely that they will get ever talked about.
Mm.
So that was really interesting too.
Yeah, going back to what you said about Canada being like a peaceful country, but also profiting off of, you know, conflict in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. I think just going back to, you know, comparing to the US again, Canada likes to say, no, we're so peaceful, we're so friendly and nice, because look at our neighbors to the south. They're involved in all sorts of conflict, and here we are being the nice, friendly neighbors upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're doing kind of the same thing, too.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of interesting. Like, I didn't know about the whole Saudi Arabia thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is definitely eye-opening in that sense. But, yeah, I do think the whole peaceful thing can be a bit of a facade sometimes, especially, like you said, when it comes to climate change. You know, what are they really doing? Mm-hmm. And their promises on reconciliation, like, mm-hmm. They haven't really pulled through on that. So,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, even in the interview, Trudeau said how they want to, you know, talk to Indigenous people on issues related to, like, these pipelines and stuff. But at the same time, he was like, oh, but we also need to consider what is good for Canada, basically. And, like, so what he was saying, basically, is that it's okay to build a pipeline, even if it hurts Indigenous people, because it's good for Canada. So they can go ahead and do that. But, yeah, so that was kind of interesting how, yeah, Trudeau was talking about reconciliation in that way.
So in the interview, Trudeau, I think he talked about reconciliation in a sense that it was successful and it's kind of already been achieved.
Yeah.
Which was really confusing, because I think a lot of people in Canada would agree that it's not there yet.
Yeah. It's far from there.
Yeah. And I think the Hassan's segment was so effective because, you know, you had that clip of Trudeau talking about reconciliation as something that he had achieved.
Yeah.
And then right after, it was followed by clips of Indigenous people
still saying, fighting.
Hey, this is what we want and this is what is happening.
Mm.
And it's not the same. Like, we haven't achieved, we haven't gotten what we've been fighting for.
Yeah.
So I think that was really effective because it shows how Trudeau was like, yes, look at us, we're the peacemakers, we had a rough past, but look, we're doing so much better now, we've achieved reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And then straight after, you have the people who they were trying to reconcile with saying, no, that's not the truth.
Yeah, I agree with that. And kind of like taking a different turn into our conversation, I wanted to talk about the Netflix response to the show and how the show was received worldwide, I guess, because it was, I mean, it's canceled now by Netflix, and Netflix did not release an actual reason of why it was canceled, but people believe that it was canceled because it was quite, like, it spoke about topics that nobody else was talking about, and it was upsetting a lot of the countries and a lot of the people, and especially in the U.S. with the Trump presidency and the government, and because Netflix has some internal issues of, like, not canceling canceling shows by people of color, which is, like, kind of makes sense because I don't know why they needed to review Kissing Booth, like, three times. Yeah. And they canceled a show that was actually making a difference and people enjoyed watching so much. And it had some pretty good ratings. So it technically didn't have any reason to cancel it, but they went ahead and did that. And yeah, even in, like the Saudi Arabia episode was canceled and banned in Saudi Arabia, and the India episode was banned in India and by the governments of those countries. And I mean, it kind of shows that the show was talking about a lot of things that, yeah, were, like, very truthful and just out there and, like, providing proof, supporting proof for their argument. And they were painting those governments in bad picture, in a bad image. Yeah, and they did not, these governments did not want that. So they ended up, you know, banning those. I mean, it's kind of like, I kind of like that about Canada, that it does not straight up ban content that speaks against or talks against, like, what Canada actually is, or, you know.
It's a very low bar.
What do you mean?
Like, not censoring.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it is a very low bar, but, like, I don't know. I guess that's where we are now, because in India, I thought that would never happen. But just the government is just doing so poorly that it's happening and taking control over all these things that are freedom of speech, basically. And it's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for me, it's quite an achievement. That they did not ban it. But yeah.
Yeah, about the show being cancelled, I mean, a lot of people in the comments, this episode came out in 2019, but
yeah.
A lot of people in the comments, even quite recently, are still talking about how upset they are that the show was cancelled.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the top comments under the Canada episode is, comedians are becoming the new reliable journalists. Mm. I'm okay with that, but it's also sad. Mm. And I think one of my professors in, I think it was like a sociology class, even assigned one of the Patriot Act episodes as a reading or like as homework. So it really goes to show how valuable and informative these episodes can be, you know, mm-hmm. not just to highlight political issues, but also like social and environmental issues as well. So for this valuable resource to be cancelled and just taken away, I guess, is quite upsetting, especially mm. because it did have such a wide audience being on Netflix and, you know, a lot of episodes being available on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty sad, and I guess a lot of people are still upset about it. And like you said, because they never explained the reason why it was cancelled.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people are still just not satisfied, or yeah. they're still very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just reading the comments now because you just mentioned the comments, but this one comment says that, oh, why is a comedian a better political interviewer than a national news pundit? Mm-hmm. Which is so surprising. I mean, yeah, his job, I think he started out in Daily Show, so he is kind of like a political comedian, kind of. But yeah, I feel like, I just in general, I feel like these shows like Daily Show with like Trevor Noah mm. and John Oliver, and they just provide so much more information mm-hmm. to today's political climate than regular media outlet and regular news outlets. I just feel like those are way more informative. Maybe I just don't know much about this, but I feel like because these episodes and just these shows focus so much on one issue, they're most of the time they're able to go in a bit of a depth and show kind of like both sides of the thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, just going back to the show in general and how he produced this one particular episode, I don't think he was able to do, like, an interview with, like, you know, Trump, obviously, in the show. And it was kind of interesting how he was able to get Trudeau to do this and, you know, put that into his show, like, incorporate it. But yeah, so it was kind of impressive that he was able to get Trudeau onto this thing and talk to him about it.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess this was right before he was up for election or re-election. So I think it was also like a pretty interesting way to gain publicity.
Yeah.
And I also know that they did Patriot Act episodes, or maybe they weren't Patriot Act, but I know that Hasan Minhaj interviewed Bernie and AOC as well. So I guess people who would normally vote for people or politicians like Bernie and AOC tend to be the audience for this kind of show. So I guess maybe...
Yeah. Yeah, so they were able to gain their, like, votes through, like, doing this interview. Yeah,
so I guess it makes sense that politicians like that would want to interview.
Yeah, but it was kind of funny how... Trudeau basically got burned
a lot. He did,
in this episode, and he still went, you know, along with it. Yeah. I guess his PR team allowed it to happen. And
yeah,
it was interesting. I was still up on YouTube and on Netflix.
I mean, that's just part of democracy, right?
I mean, it is. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why I keep thinking that it's a big deal when it's not. It's just part of democracy. So, yeah. Thanks, Yuna, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Trish.
That's our show today, folks. Thank you for listening and bearing with us through our first studio interview. This has been Against the Current by CITR News. We are here every Thursday at 3 p.m. bringing you local news. And stay tuned for more amazing programming. See you next week.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
I'm gonna give you my love.
Ta-ta.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.